We're going to actually continue where we left off from our last point regarding the fear of man and the fear of man that bringeth a snare. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made safe. Fear is a crippling emotion that many people allow to rule their lives. Fear of the future, fear of the past, and even fear of the present can keep a person from doing many things that God will have him to do. But most of all, we see that the fear of man, according to the scriptures, is also destructive to every single one that fears man. It's destructive. The Bible says it's a snare. It will bring him to a point of entrapment from fulfilling God's will. The fear of man bringeth a snare. It is said that the communist dictator Joseph Stalin was afraid of being assassinated. And so he was very wealthy, of course, and so he had a house with about 8 bedrooms, and so every single night he'd go and sleep in a different room so no one would know where he'd be laying at night. The fear of man can move you around and dictate your life from place to place, and most of all, can entrap you from not trusting God in your life. That's probably the worst thing. The fear of man bringeth a snare. There are different kinds of fear which a person may experience in life. There is that fear that kind of is embedded in us, that rings a bell when, perhaps you see a dog, you run. You know, that's a good kind of fear, especially if it's a vicious dog. I don't know about you, but vicious or no vicious, they look vicious. I kind of turn the other way. I don't even want to look there. But it's a kind of fear that has a mechanism for us to turn away from evil or turn away from danger. That's a good kind of fear. There's a fear that reverence and respect and love and shows to God. That's a good kind of fear, that where we honor God, we reverence God, and we respect God, we love God. That's a good kind of fear. But the fear that we're going to look at today is a fear that will cripple you from doing that which God's called you to do in your own life, in trusting him in the promises which he has given to you. I want you to think about that. We spoke about the first kind of thing that the fear of man can actually do to us, and that will be causing us to be an entrapment from not receiving salvation and keeping us in bondage. We fear the persecution that may come. We fear the verbal persecution, perhaps the mental persecution that will come on, the mental rejection that will happen if I trust Christ as my Savior, or even the physical persecution that will take place, especially in some countries. People are fearful for their lives. But the trap that I want to talk to you about tonight is being entrapped by the fear of man and being hindered from trusting God's promises. Would you turn your Bibles with me to Numbers? Numbers chapter 13, being hindered from claiming God's promises in your life. Let me explain the leading to this, that the children of Israel were in bondage, of course, in Egypt, and they were experiencing being enslaved by Pharaoh, and the hand of Pharaoh were upon them, and they were in great distress. They were in bondage. They were in great sorrowful situation, which they were really wanting God to deliver them out of this bondage, and God did. It's amazing that God will demonstrate his love, his power, over 10 miracles that God will actually demonstrate, and he will basically show the power by splitting the water in two. Now, they witnessed these different things. That wasn't the only thing they witnessed, but they witnessed the 10 plagues that had happened in that time. But what God had promised them, after that he had delivered them, he promised them that he'll give them a place. He'll give them a land that will flow with milk and honey. In other words, a place that a land will be prosperous, flourishing, and good, it'll be a good land. He promised that to them. And we lead up to this passage here where now God would tell Moses, I want you to get each leader from each tribe and send them out to spy the land, which I'm going to get you to occupy. And that was a promise. That was a promise from God. And so Moses, in this, we see in verse, Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, before we get into the response, I want you to see the promise of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan. Now note this, which I give unto the children of Israel. And so that's the promise. And then we see Moses obeying the Lord by sending the men, commanding the men to go out. In verse 3, and Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Now, if you go to verse 25, you come back and you see now the report which they had reported about the land. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and said to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them, notice, the fruit of the land. So that was one report. There was fruit in the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, as God said it would, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, notice now, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. So we see the report of the land, and now in chapter 13, verse 31, we see the response of the people. But the men that went up with them said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw them as giants, the son of Anak, which came of the giants and were in our sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. And so they, instead of responding by faith, they go ahead and respond by fear. The fear of man, let me say this to you tonight, will distort your view of God and his word or his promises. The fear of man will distort your view. I mean, they were so short-sighted. Instead of looking to the big God that they had delivered them from bondage and then opened up the Red Sea in order for them to walk on dry land. Now look at the problem. And they look at the giants, and which made them feel like little insects. The fear of man gripped their heart, marred their vision. And that's what the fear of man does. It grips your heart and it mars your vision. It cripples you from trusting the promises of God. No doubt this was happening in their case. I want you to see in verse 20 of Numbers chapter 13, when Moses did send them out, he said this, and be ye of what? Note it there. I know I don't want to go too fast for you. Numbers 13, verse 20. Be ye of good courage. I want your hearts to be strengthened. I don't want you to be moved. I mean, you wonder and you see and you think, why? Why would he send them out that way? So because he perhaps would have known that fear would have taken them and gripped their heart, but he wanted to encourage them. Proverbs 28 and verse 1 said, the wicked flee where no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And so a lion is someone that is strongest among the beasts. That's what Proverbs 30 verse 30 says. And turneth not away from any. So when you put your faith in Jesus Christ or his word or his promises, you begin to be bold as a lion to fulfill whatever God will have you to be occupying, or the promise which God will give to you to claim for yourself. I say the fear of the Lord will bring strong confidence, boldness, but they didn't fear the Lord. Instead, they were fearing man. And so their vision was marred. They were crippled. They were seeing themselves as insects, worthless. There's no way I can do this. And so, you know, let me say this to you tonight. If you stand alone, of course you're going to see yourself that way. Absolutely. Paul the Apostle says our sufficiency in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5, he says, not that we were sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. No way in the world that we are sufficient of ourselves. And so when you go out in your own strength, when you go out in your own power, of course you're going to feel like a grasshopper. Of course you're going to feel like an insect. I don't know what it is that God's promised you in your life. Many things in your Bible, when you see, you can, there are hundreds of promises which God will have you to claim. And I don't know what's hindering you from claiming those promises. But in some cases, it could be the fear of man. It could be the fear of the problem, the fear of the past, the fear of the future, the fear of whatever it may be. But in this case, it was the fear of man. They feared man. So the fear of man marred their vision. But also the fear of man will cause you to live a defeated life. Notice now in Numbers chapter 14 verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation and said unto them, Would God, we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God, we had died in this wilderness. Man, defeat were in their hearts already. I mean, there was no thought of God in their minds. The only thing that God would come in their minds was, you should have just let us die in Egypt, or just even in the wilderness. There's no way we're going to take these giants. Defeat was already taking up and occupying their heart. Well, that's what the fear of man does. They've already surrendered. They've already kind of resigned and said, let me put it like this. We're dead men. It's over. The fear of man will cause you to live a defeated life. There's no way in the world you're able to gain God's promises because you're not fearing God, you're fearing man. They didn't even think that they had God on their side to deliver them. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth their trust in the Lord shall be made safe. Proverbs 14:27 says the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So they ought to fear God rather than man. They were easily they forgot the promises of God. Why? Because the fear of man gripped their hearts. Go to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. Leave your finger in Numbers. We'll turn there soon. Put a bookmark, something there. Because we're going to turn there a little later on. But go to Exodus chapter 13. And that's page 43 in your Bibles, if you have a Bible given to you, page 43. And the Bible says there in Exodus chapter 13, beginning from verse 3, and Moses said unto the people, what? Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of whose hand? The hand of the Lord. For he brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out of the mouth of Abib. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites. That's the promise. And the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Which he what? What did he do? Promised. He swore unto the fathers to give thee a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and the seventh, it was a memorial, it was a feast to let them remember what God had done in the past. We're going to just stop today and just remember the Lord. I really believe that God has set up in our dispensation, the church age, this memorial. This memorial for us For them, it was to be delivered from the house or the bondage of Egypt. For us, it's a picture. Egypt is a picture of sin. For us, we've been delivered from the bondage of sin. Amen? From being enslaved, from the power of sin in our lives. The penalty of sin, the power of sin. And so when we gather together to have the Lord's table, as God would have this ordinance in the New Testament church, is so we can remember and not forget the promises of God. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to be gathered together as a church. It's very important that we be gathered together to remember what God had done on that cross. And so we stop today to remember that. We remember the body being broken. We remember the blood that was shed. We remember the suffering that came along with that. You know, we tend to think the body is broken, the blood is shed, but behind all that, there was suffering, there was anguish, and there was despair, and that ought to strike a chord every time we hear it in our hearts. And for most of us, if it doesn't strike a chord, is because we just don't care. We're this apathetic or indifferent or nominal against the things of the Lord. And so we cannot be indifferent, nominal, forgetful. Because look what happened to the children of Israel when they were forgetful. This kind of reminds us that we should be strengthened in our faith, which is in God. And so it's a remembrance of what God had done in the past. He gave us a purpose in Christ for a new life, that we would not live a defeated life. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, which is page 691 in the Bible, and verse 10, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I just want to show you three different things, which was the purpose of God manifesting in the flesh, Jesus Christ coming down, and these different things, I hope will be an encouragement to you as we stop and remember the Lord and just look at these elements and see what God has done for us. And we see this in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath what? Abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And this Lord's table here today represents the death, burial, and no doubt also the resurrection that we look forward to as well. If we just stop at the death and we don't look at the resurrection, the gospel is not complete. We look at the victorious life that He's given us in Christ, but before we can actually claim the resurrection, we've got to make sure that we've been dead in Christ. We've got to make sure that we've given our sins to the Lord. And if you have here tonight, then we remember that on that cross, He abolished death for those that believe. But second of all, in 1 John chapter 3, which is page 708 in the Bible, 1 John chapter 3, and beginning from verse 5, the Bible says there, "And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins." So He was manifested to abolish death, and then He was manifested to take away our sins. And in Him, goes on to say, there is no sin. He that knew no sin became sin to take away our sin. And so when we remember the cross and Jesus Christ, we remember that He abolished death and also that He has taken away our sin the moment we believe on Him. Thirdly, His manifestation is this. 1 John chapter 3, drop down a few verses in verse 8. "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He may destroy the works of the devil." Okay, so remember that, you know, as it was predicted in the book of Genesis, thank God for that, that His heel was going to be bruised. And that because the works of the devil was going to be put to naught. Praise God for that. Death hasn't got a hold of us. There's no sting of death. He's taken our sting. Our sin has been forgiven on Calvary, but also the devil can't ensnare the believer anymore. No way in the world. And we have got victory in that. And so when we look at the cross today, and we look at the broken body which was demonstrated on the cross, and the blood that was demonstrated on that cross, we see that He abolished death. We see that our sin were forgiven, and we see that the works of the devil have also been put to naught. We'll continue with the fear of man that brings a snare. It doesn't only hinder us from claiming God's promises in ways that will distort the view of God and His Word, and will also cause us to live a defeated life. But also, there in verse 2 of Numbers chapter 14, it will cause us to murmur, to live a life of complaint and murmuring, dissatisfaction. When we allow men to direct our path because we're afraid of them, it will cause us to live a life of murmuring and complaining. And if you see there in Numbers chapter 14 verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Notice verse 3, and wherefore have the Lord brought us unto the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And see that they were just murmuring and complaining. And also there's a New Testament admonition, if you would, by looking at the Old Testament picture, and that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 on page in the Bible there, 665. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll read there a few verses. Remember, there was a time that they were destroyed chapters later for murmuring. There needed to be a plan of salvation in that time with the serpent there. They had to have a rod lifted up, and the serpent lifted up in the wilderness, and they had to look upon it by faith. And that came around of destruction in their lives because of murmuring. See there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning from verse 1, notice what the Bible says: "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Isn't that beautiful? Old Testament Christ there is a scene. "But with many of them," notice, "God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness, that these things were our examples to intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be idolaters, as there were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, and neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Notice verse 9. "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpent. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these happened unto them for an examples, that are written for our" what? "Admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." If he's writing this to the New Testament believers, it believes that they can fall in such a snare. And one of the causes of which they murmur is the fear of man. They no longer fearing God. They no longer have their focus on the Lord. They have their focus on themselves or on men. And then this also will cause them to rebel. The fear of man will bring about a rebellion in your heart. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 4, the Bible says, "And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt." Now they wanted to make a captain. They wanted to rebel from their authority. which was put in their lives, Moses and Aaron there, and also the Lord guiding them both, and they wanted to make a captain that will take them back into bondage. Wow. They wanted to rebel. The fear of man will bring about a rebellion in someone's heart. They desired to have another leader in their life. Now notice Caleb here in verse 9. Caleb and Joshua would encourage them in verse 9 to say, only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither what? What does it say there? Neither. Okay, Numbers chapter 14 and verse 9. The Bible says, only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land. So he's saying, don't rebel, don't fear the people of the land. See, what happens when you fear the people of the land? You're just going to rebel. What happens when you fear man? You're going to rebel. If you don't fear God and trust God, you're going to find yourself in a rebelling situation. They had a distorted view, they had a defeated life, they were murmuring people, and now that began to rebel against the holy God. The fear of man bringeth a snare. That's what it does. But whoso putteth their trust in the Lord shall be made safe. I want you to see now an application, a right focus. Caleb and Joshua no doubt had a right focus. They had faith in God instead of a fear of man. And that's a difference. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. And no doubt Caleb demonstrated that fear for the Lord. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. Notice there. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Amen. That's a voice of faith, not a voice of fear. That's a voice of trusting in God, not fearing man. And we can see here they had a right focus. Why would Caleb have this focus and this trust in God? Because he trusted in God's character, you see. And so we need, as the children of God, to keep our right focus and keep trusting God's promises and God's character. You know what that is? That's trusting God's integrity. Man, that's just, God loves when you trust his integrity. If we don't trust God's promises and his integrity, who can we trust? Who do we rely on? And so we cannot lose sight of God's promises. In fact, we cannot. We need and desperately need to keep and claim his promises. And so I want you to see that God has manifested himself in different ways which we can exercise our faith. And that, number one, is through creation. The Bible says, for the invisible things of him from the creations of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Why? So that they are without excuse. But the Bible always also says that he manifests himself to people through conscience. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2 verse 14, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, and meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So God has manifested himself through creation, conscience, but the greatest is through his word. And so when is faith, true faith that is, born? And when is it strengthened? When we believe the word of God. See, the Bible says this, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Drench yourself in the word of God. And the more you read the word of God, study the word of God, have a walk with God, trust his character, the more your faith is going to be strengthened. And so when it comes to points of giants in your life, and they're going to come, you can stand and not run. Many people are retreating and running and turning back is because they're not in the word of God. They're not walking with God. They're just walking with their own strength. Sure, they know scripture. Sure, they know the Bible. Sure, they can quote you verses. but they sure don't trust it and they don't have a walk with God. These men, Caleb and Joshua, had a walk with God. They trusted the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which we see are not made of the things which do appear. Hebrews 11 verse 3. And so let me ask you a question here tonight. Are you a person that can claim God's promises, especially when trials or giants come into your life? Are you a person that says, well, I'm just going to trust the living word of God? If God says it, that's it, that settles it. One thing that you can trust here tonight, if you haven't, and that's the promise of eternal life. The Bible says in Titus 1:2, and the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, hath promised before the world began. Did you know why so many people will slip into hell and never go into heaven, never have their sin forgiven? Because they never claimed God's promise. Instead, they were fearful. Notice the Bible, what it says. You don't have to turn there, but you can note it down for later on in Revelation 21 and verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. In verse 8. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Among these people are the fearful ones. The fear of man bringeth a snare. They hinder them from claiming God's eternal promise, which is salvation through Jesus Christ. Many will slip in because of this truth. Other reasons, but this is one of them. They fear man. They're fearful and unbelieving. If you're a child of God, then God will have you to claim his promise of he'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things that ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord promises that he'll never leave you. Now, can you claim that promise when the storms come? Can you claim that promise when past monsters come in your life, giants come in your life? Can you claim that promise that God has brought me this far, and I'm trusting him that he'll continue to bring me along, and I'm not going to turn back, I'm not going to look back, but I'm going to just keep moving forward with God because I'm trusting that he's never going to leave me nor forsake me? Are you claiming that promise? Are you claiming the fact that God is on your side? He is. Caleb said, if God delight in us, he'll give us the land. He does delight in us. He that gave his own son for us. He goes on to say, what more would he give us? Wow. And then God is for us. He's not against us, and he wants the best for us. Psalm 9 verse 10, and they that know the name, thy name, will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Wow. God's never forsaken those that continue to trust in the Lord and continue to rely on the Lord. And what about the promises of providing all things for us? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, but my God shall supply all, not half, but all your needs, and all your need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. C.A. Spurgeon said, this preacher, he said that there was a man that had many responsibilities, and he was going home after a difficult day, and his problems were so many, and he was discouraged. And while he was in this state of mind, however, he was reminded of the verse from the Word of God, my grace is sufficient for thee. He looked up to God and he said, I believe it, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for today. Dear Lord, I believe it. And then he bursted out into laughter. He understood how ridiculous it was to worry. He began to think, I'm like a little fish that is thirsty, who begins to worry lest he exhaust the water of the river. The big river answers, drink, my little fish. Drink all you want. There's plenty for you. Again, Spurgeon said, I thought that was like a little mouse in the great big grain stores of Egypt after 7 years of abundance of harvest. And I was so fearful lest I would die of starvation. And I heard a voice from Joseph say, Don't worry, little mouse. The wheat stores are sufficient for you. The psalmist said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Can you claim that promise tonight? Can you say, God's not going to forsake me as a Christian? I'm his child. God's going to supply all my needs. I'm his child. When the great giants come in your life, would they hinder your lack of faith in God's word? Would they do that? Would they do that here tonight? You say, well, I'm strong in the scriptures. The giants will come and they will test your faith. How will you stand? Would you stand moving forward, or will you retreat? God promises are sure. Children of God can claim him with great assurance. He keeps his word. And there's one thing that God cannot do, and it's impossible for him to do, and that's to lie. God's promises are sure. Romans chapter 4 verse 20, he, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform it. And this is what Caleb said. We are able to overcome it. Why? Because God said. That's right. Because God said. God says it, my friend, here tonight. God settles it. And there isn't a promise in this book that God doesn't want to give you to claim for yourself. God is with us. God is for us. I'll be with you all the way into the uttermost. You can look at the fear of man here in this community, and you can see the rebellion, and you can see the indifference, and you can get, well, it's just not working, and it's just too much, and it's too hard. They don't want to hear it. But will you stand and say, well, it doesn't matter. God is working in their hearts, and God is with us, and God, we're going to bring this along. It's not time to be defeated right now. It's not time to be hindered by the faces of men because of the response. It's not time to do that. We have to claim God's promise. He's able. We're able to overcome it. We're able to overcome the land and flood this community with the gospel of love. Would you be in on it? This lighthouse, this beacon, would you say, I want to be used of God? Oh, we're just a little church. What can we do? We're a little church with a big God. If you're going to look at yourselves and he says, we're insufficient, yes, we are. But we've got God working. We've got God working through these tracks. It amazes me, 3 o'clock in the morning, people would wake up to say, get out of Newcastle. You say, is that bad? I said, no, that's good. They're thinking. God is working. He's rallying them to think about eternal things. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let those giants tell me to go home. I'll tell you why. Because our God, when he looks down according to Isaiah, turn your Bibles there, Isaiah 40. He sees those little ones like grasshoppers. Isaiah chapter 40. Perhaps the giants in your life is not only the community that you're around with that are so indifferent about the gospel, but it could be the giant in your life that you're faced with, the indifference of family in your life. You see your family, they're not responding. Ah, it's a hard case. I'll never come. Never say that. We have a big God. And he's able. But you just got to keep trusting. Keep working. Keep praying. And interceding for that person. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 21. Have you not heard? Have you not heard? Have you not known? Have you not heard? I love the Bible. Have they not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as what? Grasshoppers. That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. They bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Our giants are God's grasshoppers. And we can trust Him. And we don't have to be snared by the fear of man. There are some that will be snared and entrapped and hindered. And they will retreat. But there were some that will stand like Caleb and Joshua and say, we're not going to retreat and we're not going to give up. Especially when it comes to people. We're going to persevere and we're going to keep trusting our God. We're going to be praying to our God. Numbers chapter 14, we're done. Just two more passages of scripture and we're done tonight. Numbers chapter 14, verse 22. Notice what the Lord says here. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times. And I have not hearkened, and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, he had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. The fear of man, my friend, here tonight will hinder you from claiming God's promise and being blessed in the riches of his blessings. It will snare you down. The psalmist said, Psalm 63 in verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed, and I meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Verse 8, my soul followeth hard after me, thy right hand upholdeth me. God said about Caleb, he followed fully. The psalmist said, I followed hard. There was a faith that was in God, and it was a true faith. It was a dependent upon, commit to. They trusted him. They had a right focus. And they were safe. Safe in claiming God's promise. Not only do you, Caleb, but your seed that will follow after you. What a promise. What a wonderful thing it is that we can claim God's promise and we don't have to be hindered by men, and that promise can follow on to our kids to come. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that wonderful? I pray here tonight that you won't be hindered. You won't be snared by the fear of men, but you put your trust in the Lord. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you a moment tonight just to reflect upon the message. You may be with us here tonight. You probably don't know the Lord as your Savior. You probably don't have assurance of your salvation. You're not sure that you'd spend eternity in heaven. You're not sure that you're a child of God. But tonight you want to be sure and you want to trust God. You say, I want to make a decision tonight and I want to trust the Lord. I don't have my assurance. Please pray for me. Anyone like that, you can lift up a hand and slip it back down. Anyone like that here tonight? Maybe you're a Christian here tonight. You say, there's some giants that have come that have made me a little tremble, fearful from claiming God's promise. It's not men, it's just other things also in my life. But tonight, I want to trust the Lord. Tonight, I want to fully follow God. Fully follow. Tonight, I want to rest in the Lord. I'm not going to fret. Tonight, I want to claim His promise. I'm not going to be afraid from their faces. Tonight, I want to follow hard after the Lord. So, how did the psalmist do that? He sat down at his bed at a night time and meditated and remembered the Lord. That's one way that you could do it. You say, I want to do that tonight. I want to start by doing that tonight. I want to go in my room and I'm just going to close my door. I'm going to fold my legs and sit in my bed and I want to remember the Lord. I want to follow hard after Him. I want to meditate on the Lord. If that's you tonight, you say, well, I'm going to make a decision to do that tonight. There's some things that have come up, and I want to be strengthened in those areas. And perhaps you need prayer about something in particular. You say, please pray for me, Brother Charlie, here tonight. Anyone like that? Amen. 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 God spoke into my heart. There's some giants in my life. I want to put them to flight by trusting the Lord. I'm not going to let them to overcome me. We are able. God is with us. He's going to help us. He loves us. He doesn't want to forsake us. It's contrary to Him. He's going to provide everything necessary for us. I'm going to start trusting the Lord fully. Fully relying on the Lord. Anyone else? I remember you this week in prayer if you want some prayer. Amen. 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 Brother Nathan, would you close off with a word of prayer?